I would like to begin in this lesson to introduce a subject to you which is fundamental to both our society and to biblical doctrine. That is the subject of marriage, and in particular of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. This subject is important because people are constantly asking questions about it. It interacts with our daily lives, and there is much to be said about it in the Scripture. Now, the way that we're going to cause a better church to work and to live for the Lord together is to have complete and together homes, everybody working together to serve God as they ought to. The way we're going to have a better nation, where you have people who are righteous and trying to serve the Lord as best they can, is to have complete and good working family units. If you don't have that, then both the nation and the church will break down. It goes back to the home. So, what does the Bible have to say about the establishment of a home? And as we study on this, I hope to answer, in the course of our studies, some of the questions that people commonly ask about the formation of a home, about the breakup of a home, that is, divorce or attendant circumstances, things like separation and things like that, and also then the formation of subsequent homes. How do you deal with children and so forth? All of these things the Scripture has much to say about, and I would like for us to, without any further ado, get into it. In Genesis chapter 2, we begin in our studies at this point, and like I said, in future weeks, we'll every now and then come back to this subject, and after a good long while, we'll get quite a bit of teaching in on it. In Genesis 2 is where we must naturally begin our studies, starting at verse 18, with the establishment of the first home and the way in which it was to be and forevermore should be, as Jesus said, that it ought to be, beginning way back at the beginning in Genesis 2. Now, the Lord said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him, that is, a help meet or suitable for him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle and to the birds of the air, and to Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him." Nothing was suitable, you see, to be with Adam, to complete him, to cause him to be what he should be and what God intended for him to be in this life. And by presenting all the animals before Adam, God accomplished the purpose of letting Adam see that none of these are like you. You need someone who will provide you companionship to be with you, who is like you, who is of the same substance. So, in verse 21, it says, "The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from Adam, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.' And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Here you have the first relationship, which we might refer to as marriage, or the establishment of the first home, begun by God himself. The one who officiated at the ceremonies would be the Lord. And he, in essence, simply presented Eve to Adam and said, "Here you go, here's your wife." And so when you have this situation, Adam immediately recognizes that this is the one, as opposed to all of the animals who did not have the immortal soul, who were not made like Adam and were not of the same type of being as Adam was. And you have Eve come along and he perceives, this is the one. She completes me, even as Adam also completes her. She is the helpmeet. She is suitable for me, even as also Adam, of course, was suitable for Eve. And in this intimate and close relationship, God intended for them to replenish, that is, to go out and populate the earth. And God intends for us today to have good and stable homes, just like he intended from the beginning with Adam and Eve. Now, this first home, you might say that it was lacking in a whole lot of ways, but it did not break up. You don't read of where Adam got mad at Eve or Eve got mad at Adam, and after a certain argument or something, then they split up. You might say, well, they didn't have many other choices. Well, I can understand that. But also, you have a situation where they were closer to what God originally intended and perhaps never even understood or thought that there was any other alternative. We are supposed to be with one another, and that's just the way that it is and the way that it shall be. regardless of whatever happened in that first home. We know that God intends for one man and one woman to be together for a lifetime, and this from Genesis chapter 2 is the original pattern. This original pattern is something that Jesus referred back to, and the reason that I can say that it's a pattern is because he said that this was, from the beginning, the way that God wanted it to be. Notice that he answered some Pharisees who were asking him about divorce. He said, "Have you not read, He who made them at the beginning made them male and female," Matthew 19, verse 4, "and said, For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh?" Now, when Jesus said that, he is showing the original pattern, the original will of God, and what God intended the home to be to start with. Now, people might say, you know, there are a lot of changes that have occurred in time. You had God ruling through the heads of families, and then you had God ruling the Israelites through the law of Moses, and you have the law of Jesus Christ today, and sometimes it's kind of confusing, but it's not really when it comes to the home. And it's not really confusing, period, but especially when it comes to the home. The home was established before the state or the church. As God put it upon this earth, he showed through Jesus that I intended this to be what marriage and the establishment of a home and for the raising of children and so forth, this is what I meant for it to be like from the beginning. Now you go back to that. And if that's not what God wanted, then why did Jesus refer to it here in Matthew 19? You know that's what God wants. And it is amazing to me how people can cast off with impunity the vows that they make before God in the home that God intends to be a permanent establishment. Now, when I say permanent, I mean with respect to this life and to this earth. They have asked Jesus also in another part of the Bible about husbands and wives and how does God sort all that out in the resurrection if somebody has more than one. Well, the Lord pointed out, you don't understand. Marriage is something for this life. In other words, he said, that they neither marry there in heaven or are given in marriage. So marriage is something for this life. And when I say a permanent relationship, I mean, of course, while the parties are alive. And that's just the way the Lord intends it to be and has always intended it to be. Now, people at certain times in history have corrupted marriage so much that God tried to regulate or tried to downplay, downplay is not the right word. He tried to discourage their sinful activity. And he also recognized that sinful activity can cause such a rupture in the marriage that one person simply can no longer continue to live with the other person. The problem we have with people today is that they feel that there's all kinds of reasons why they can no longer continue to live with the other person. You know, they don't like to sleep on that side of the bed, and we want the same side, and we just can't get along, and therefore we're going to break it up. Well, the Lord doesn't intend such frivolous things to be the breakup of a marriage. Furthermore, there may be some very serious things that go on that God indicates, well, you may have a difficulty with that person, sure enough, but you must simply live as a Christian, and it may require that you simply live celibate. Because they will not be cooperative in the marriage. But that doesn't give you the right to go out and form a new home. Because when you married, it was for better or for worse. God does give a reason why you might need to go out and form a new home, and that is because of fornication in that marriage. That is, because somebody has gone out on you, as people say, the cause of adultery. You find it in Matthew 19 and verse 9. The formation of a home itself is something that next time we talk about this subject, I want us to get into. We're going to look at intention or consent with respect to starting a home, starting a marriage. We're going to talk about complying with the laws of society or the laws of the land, whatever they may be. And we will see as we study on this subject that God is very serious and holds this to be something that has eternal consequences if you don't listen to what he says about marriage and the home and about children in that home as well. These are all very serious from God's will. And there's something that requires us to have many lessons to study on it about. In 10 minutes, you know, what can I do? But I'll tell you this. We can accomplish much good in studying upon this subject for God's Word. We can answer a lot of good questions. And I encourage you to look into these passages and others in the coming weeks as we look at this in our afternoon program. I thank you for listening this afternoon from the Mount Gilead Church of Christ. I'm Tim McHenry.